Ladies and gentlemen, the sound you hear is a buzzsaw ripping through a painting of George Washington chopping down cherry trees. It's time for Professor Buzzkill, busting myths and taking names.
Don't you just love the jolt you get from Coca-Cola Buzzkillers? It lifts you up when you're down, and it gives you energy to get you through the draggy hours of the afternoon. But do you ever wonder where that magic comes from? Well, it's the old professor here to tell you the story. You see, for decades, the tale flew around that Coke was originally full of coke, as in cocaine. The early developers of Coca-Cola stirred cocaine into its famous syrup, and once mixed with the energizing carbonated water, early Coca-Cola became irresistible and customers became addicted. That's how Coke dominated the soft drink market. Alas, Buzzkillers, you know what I'm going to say. Well, actually, I'm not going to say what I normally say. This is a myth, but it's also not a myth. The cocaine and Coca-Cola story is half true, but greatly misunderstood. Originally formulated in the 1880s by Georgia pharmacist John Pemberton, the drink that became Coca-Cola did in fact contain cocaine. This is partly because Pemberton's initial motivation was to find a stimulant to help him kick the morphine habit he'd developed while recovering from his Civil War wounds. He tinkered with his concoction in his early years, and it varied considerably. But the main ingredients that made it distinctive as a soft drink were cocaine, taken from the leaf of the coca plant, and caffeine, taken from the cola nut. That's cola with a K. We'll get to that a little bit later. The first key point to remember about the cocaine and Coca-Cola story, Buzzkillers, is that the amount of cocaine was minuscule, even in its early days when Pemberton was trying to build a following. The second thing to remember is that during the 1880s and 1890s, and even into the early years of the 20th century, it was common for what were known as patent medicines to contain cocaine, and indeed for the manufacturers to advertise it, that's cocaine, as a therapeutic ingredient. In fact, there were lots of competing coca-based soft drinks on the market at the time. They all claimed that they could cure headaches, that they were a tonic for the brain and nerves, and that they gave their drinkers more energy. Coke's inventor, Pemberton, wasn't necessarily hopping up his concoction to get his customers addicted, and he certainly wasn't doing anything illegal. Now, but around the turn of the century, various social reformers, health advocates, launched campaigns against the dangers of what they saw as cocainism and the cocaine habit. They targeted Coca-Cola and similar drinks as unhealthy and even potentially dangerous and social evils. In response, the Coca-Cola company first tried to remove cocaine from its syrup in 1903. They replaced it with more caffeine, and they stopped claiming that Coke had health benefits. And here's where it gets technical, Buzzkillers, and frankly fascinating for all you food chemists out there. Pemberton, Coke's inventor, had died in 1888, but he'd always stressed that his soft drink's name should be descriptive. In other words, when it removed cocaine from its drink, the Coca-Cola company couldn't completely remove the extract of coca leaves from its recipe and at the same time remain true to its founder's truth in marketing principles in the Coca-Cola name. Therefore, the company needed to keep using coca extract, but in a cocaine-free way. Now, they more or less accomplished this by using spent coca leaves, which had the cocaine removed from them before they were put in the drink. Essentially, the process by which this was accomplished only left a residue of the coca plant extract in the Coca-Cola syrup, but enough for the company to claim that Coke's magic formula had partly come from the coca plant itself. Alas, their process wasn't perfect, and they weren't able to get rid of all the cocaine until 1929. Well, how much cocaine was actually in Coca-Cola, I hear you asking. It's difficult to determine with complete accuracy because Pemberton and subsequent Coca-Cola barons tried to keep the formula a secret, and they make the secret formula thing a big deal if you go visit the Coca-Cola headquarters in Atlanta. Of course, any buzz-killing college chemistry student can break it down and analyze it in the lab these days, but it wasn't always as easy as that. Now, scientists here at the Institute, including my father, the Duke of Buzzkill, who's a physicist, they've determined that between when it was invented in the 1880s and 1903, when they first tried to get rid of the cocaine, there was as little as one part per 200,000 of cocaine in Coca-Cola syrup. Between 1903 and 1929, when all the traces were removed, it went down to one part per 50 million. Now, add to both of these almost infinitesimally minuscule amounts the fact that the standard ratio of carbonated water to syrup in the finished drink was 5 to 1, then, killers, you need an electron microscope to see a number that small. It was watered down by 5 times. Essentially, there wasn't enough cocaine in Coca-Cola to get a gnat pulled over for flying under the influence of a controlled substance. By the way, buzzkillers, health campaigners eventually went after the caffeine in Coca-Cola as well. They were successful in convincing the U.S. government to use the 1906 Pure Food and Drug Act to haul Coca-Cola into court in 1911. They claimed that the company was damaging the public's health through its continued use of caffeine. Now, Coke won that case, but the decision was partly reversed by the Supreme Court in 1916. And rather than continue with the legal hassles, Coca-Cola agreed to reduce the amount of caffeine in its drink, but some remained. Nowadays, you can chalk up the buzz in Coca-Cola to the sugar, the little bit of caffeine that's there, and the effervescence of the carbonated water. Even then, the effect is mostly psychological. So have a Coke and a smile, buzzkillers. The smile will come from the yumminess of the product. You won't be getting a cocaine buzz, and neither did your great-great-great-great-grandparents. Talk to you next week. Over and out.